And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I want to say thank you, and I won't give out names, but on Sunday, I had a visitor in church who actually drove 2.5 hours to visit with me in church. And I tell you, folks, I am really gratified by that. It is a blessing to me, and I appreciate the sacrifice that that is. And it's not the first time it's happened. We had some other people do that as well. And I just want to thank you for encouraging me. It is deeply moving. It really is. So thank you all. And I hope all of you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you got a chance to get to church and worship the Lord and hear a good word and visit with friends and family. And as a matter of fact, this weekend, I had an opportunity to go to Louisville, Kentucky. I was in Louisville, Kentucky on Saturday, back for our services on Sunday, because I got a little family issue out there. So you all pray for my family, because, you know, we all have challenges and whatnot that we face. And went out there to attend to a little bit of family business. And so it was a very, very busy weekend. Out to Louisville Friday night, back here Saturday night, and in church on Sunday. And then the big event of the weekend, the Super Bowl. I did not watch it, okay? I said I would not watch it. I did not watch it. I was not interested. In fact, you know what? My wife and I came home. We ate dinner. We often talk to our children on the weekends because, of course, they're busy working. We're busy working. So on the weekends, when we tend to talk to our children long distance because they're just kind of scattered all over the country. And after that, we sat down and we watched Overcomer, you know, the Christian film. And I forget the guy's first name, but there's a whole Kendrick family that produces these films. I think they did War Room, and they've done a number of other films. And it was outstanding, folks. I mean, it was outstanding. My wife had seen it before, and I had not, and I'd been wanting to see it, but I wanted us to see it together. So we sat down, and then afterwards we began to hear the news about what happened in the Super Bowl. Okay, no interest, no consequence. And, you know, I was a little encouraged because one of the first things I saw this morning watching Fox News was that there had been a tribute to the flag. I don't know whether it was during Super Bowl. Yeah, I guess that must have been during Super Bowl halftime, a tribute to the flag. And I thought, wow, that's great. You know, maybe, just maybe, Roger Goodell is finally getting his wits about him and finally figuring out that he's offended a vast number of people in his audience in the NFL fan base, and that you've lost those people. To get those people back, you've got to demonstrate that you respect the country that allows you to enjoy the privileges that you enjoy and the benefits that you enjoy as a major entertainment company in America. And that's what the NFL is. I mean, it's an entertainment company. I mean, they do sports, but the point is to entertain people. And I thought, okay, well, that's encouraging. And then I began to see the other news and thought, oh, boy, here we go. Well, first of all, my understanding is it's good stuff. young lady sang the national anthem, and I understand that she just did a tremendous job. Demi Lovato. I don't know who she is, but I heard, and Fox News is playing excerpts from it. She just did a tremendous job with the national anthem. Okay, there's another point for the NFL. Okay, there's the good. That's wonderful. And then you find out that Jay-Z and Beyonce in their box sit down during the national anthem, and most of the people with them, perhaps all the people with them in their box, sit down during the national anthem. And Jay-Z is quoted as saying, Colin Kaepernick was done wrong. but then something about, but we're moving on from there. Well, I either didn't know this or I forgot it. I knew that the NFL was doing some things around social justice. What I didn't know was that they're doing this stuff in partnership with Jay-Z. That I did not know. So Jay-Z is now a major powerhouse. He is kind of partnering with Roger Goodell. He's a major powerhouse for the NFL. In fact, Jay-Z chose J-Lo. Well, all these alphabet names. Jay-Z chose J-Lo to do the halftime show, apparently. I don't know how he had power to do that, but I guess, you know. I don't know whether this was pandering to try to get minorities. I can't fathom what Roger Goodell thinks and what he does for $50 million a year. I just can't. It is mind-boggling. So Jay-Z has been selected to salve the wounds. So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You chose an anti-American, race-baiting, morally and spiritually confused individual who's made money doing a whole bunch of stupid raps that entertain people. That's why he makes money. He doesn't make money because they're wise or they're good or they're wonderful or they're blessed or they're miraculous. He makes money because they entertain people. So he comes up with some garbage that entertains people. Hasn't entertained me because I've never bought anything that he's ever put out and never listened to anything that he's put out. I've simply read about him because I have no interest in what he does at all. Because to me, he's just confused, frankly, rather disgusting figure. I remember Obama had him in the Situation Room. I mean, that's it just goes to show you how confused President Obama was, too, and is. This is who they choose to be the face of the NFL's outreach. And I'm thinking, okay, one or two steps forward, 15 billion giant steps backwards. You know, it's like Jay-Z is the face of the NFL for satisfying the need to convince people that the NFL is socially relevant? You know what? All you convince me is that Roger Goodell is every bit as bad as I'm suggesting as an NFL commissioner. Okay? Every bit as bad as I'm suggesting. I mean, he could... Folks, there's a whole universe of people out there that he could have chosen to talk to about the needs. If this is something he felt he needed to address, the needs of the black community. He could have talked to me. And I could have helped him to understand the need to create programs and help rebuild families, the need to create programs that provide alternative educational opportunities for children, the need to create programs that bring people together with the police officers who are working to make them safe when they're often surrounded by gangs and thuggery and drug dealing and violence. The need to give people an appreciation of the free market and free enterprise and the opportunities that it provides for people who want to rise up, who want to do better. But oh, no. He chose a half gangster, half New Age nonsense rapping guy who's made a bunch of money in that industry to be the face of their quote-unquote outreach, social justice. Yikes. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The Supreme Court recently heard oral arguments in a case that might eventually end the impact of the Blaine Amendment. You might ask, what is the Blaine Amendment? Well, it was a failed attempt to amend the U.S. Constitution so that government aid could not be provided to schools with religious affiliation. Even though it was never added to the Constitution, three-fourths of the states adopted similar provisions in their state constitutions. Originally, these were proposed to limit Catholic schools from receiving aid, but have been used to bar any religious school from receiving aid. The Montana legislature created a scholarship program funded through private donations and tax credits. Kendra Espinoza enrolled her children into a non-denominational Christian school. The problem was that Montana's constitution prohibits public funds from being spent for sectarian purposes. Back in the 19th century, sectarian meant Catholic schools. Montana also applied that to any Christian school. The argument before the High Court was simple. The Montana ruling is unconstitutional under the First Amendment. You may remember that there was a similar Supreme Court ruling in the case of Trinity Lutheran. The justices said that the Missouri ban for sectarian aid could not keep a Christian school from applying for a federal grant for playground resurfacing. You would think that a similar ruling would come down concerning the impact of the Montana Blaine Amendment. The problem is the scholarships at issue here no longer exist. They were tossed out by a state court. Therefore, the state of Montana can now argue that they aren't discriminating since neither secular nor religious people are receiving money. I hope the justices will ignore that technicality and rule against these pernicious Blaine amendments in state constitutions. That would strike a blow for religious liberty. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Will regressive attacks on the president end with his acquittal on impeachment charges? Don't bet on it. The Supreme Court is finally dealing with little tin-pot activist district court judges. The Democrat Party poobahs are in a deep panic over their leading candidate and are changing the rules to shaft Bernie again. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And folks, so Beyonce and Jay-Z sat in their box and sat down while the national anthem was being sung, disrespected our flag, disrespected our national anthem, and that's who Roger Goodell has chosen to work with in terms of addressing the issues that I guess Colin Kaepernick was raising with regard to injustices against the black community. First of all, neither one of these people know anything about injustice because they're spoiled billionaires and they've made their money not doing something, and Colin Kaepernick, because he plays a sport and it's entertainment, but they made their money not creating a cure for cancer, not advancing some great thing that makes the lives of everybody better. And I'm not knocking the fact that they're entitled in our country to make money doing whatever people are willing to invest in, whatever people are willing to pay for. But I am suggesting that it is not as if they made their money creating the new great thing that blesses people all over our country and all over the world. I mean, it's not like they invented the light bulb. It's not like they found the polio vaccine. It's not like they've discovered a cure for cancer. I mean, they've just, you know, Jay-Z is rapped and whatever he does. I don't know whether he sings or dances. I don't know because I don't really follow him. But Beyonce sings and dances. And And Colin Kaepernick just makes a fool of himself, basically, because he apparently, from what I hear from experts, he can't play football that well. And so, you know, he just makes a fool of himself and, you know, tries to sound intelligent when he just sounds dumb. So, but they made money here in America. Thank God for America. Thank God for freedom. Thank God that people get to choose what they want to invest their money in and spend their money on. And these guys have made money. But let's not oversell it, shall we? It is not like Roger Goodell chose the most intelligent, insightful person that he could find to help him understand what issues needed to be addressed. As far as I'm concerned, he chose a complete and utter buffoon who is apparently good at least two things. One is entertaining and two is making money. Okay, I'll give him that. But I'll tell you what, would you want a society built on the values and ideas of Jay-Z? Would you want to build a world around Jay-Z? Would you want your children to emulate Jay-Z? That's the kind of person you want to be? I don't think so. So, you know, I thought, man, maybe the NFL is finally getting their head on straight. And apparently, Roger Goodell has been a little bit too concussed by the cultural machinations that he doesn't have the sense enough to reject. And so his brain's not really functioning at any high level of efficiency. And that's who he chooses to help the NFL understand the problems facing the black community. Ugh. Well, that's not the worst of it, apparently. That's not the worst of it. I had no idea about this, but I found this morning all this commentary all over the internet by Franklin Graham, who excoriated the halftime show as sexual exploitation and criticized Pepsi for being involved in it. Because apparently it was Pepsi was the sponsor of the halftime show, so I guess whoever the sponsor is has a great deal to do with choosing who's going to do the entertaining. Apparently Jay-Z chose this, and I assume that Pepsi and the NFL and Fox, all of whom are stakeholders in this, I assume they just all went along. But I had no idea of how bad this was until I started reading about it. Franklin Graham, quote, said, this showed young girls that sexual exploitation of women is okay, and urged the society to raise its standards. Now, folks, I want to say two things about this. One is this. Aren't these the same Hollywood people who started a Me Too movement about the inappropriate interactions between men and women in Hollywood and the tendency to try to exploit women sexually? Aren't these the people who started the Me Too movement? Aren't these the people who celebrated the arrest of some of these characters who've been involved in this stuff? Aren't these the folks? Well, you know what? All of this garbage that they think is so terrible now, they're continuing to promote. They ridicule Christians for saying, you know, sex is reserved between husband and wife. That's the way God planned it. That's the way God intended it. And look, I'm not naive, folks. I know that that is a standard that probably few people have met. Some people have, no doubt. But the consequences of violating that standard are replete. I mean, all of the out of wedlock children with no fathers, who don't know their fathers, in some cases never met their fathers, have no relationship with their fathers. All the social costs for welfare and trying to take care of single mothers, all of the dislocation in inner cities with gangs, guys being enculturated by other guys whose model of manhood is a gangster with a gun. All of this goes back to these loose sexual standards that, by and large, Hollywood has promoted. Now, mind you, I'm not blaming Hollywood completely for it. People don't need help to sin. You know, they know how to sin on their own. But I tell you what, Hollywood has certainly legitimized it. Hollywood has advanced it. You know, I remember, folks, I'm old enough to remember when if people lived together without the benefit of marriage, they hid it. They didn't tell people about it. They kept it to themselves. And now Hollywood people come on television and talk about it like, you know, it's just I mean, and we'll say things like, well, we don't need a piece of paper to prove that we love each other. And yet most of the child abuse, most of the domestic abuse that occurs in the country occurs in households where the two spouses are not married. The man and the woman are not married. I'm not talking about homosexuality because there's no such thing as a homosexual marriage anyway. So I'm not even talking about that. Although there's a lot of data suggesting a lot of domestic violence within that too, which is exactly what you would expect because, of course, it's an unwholesome, unhealthy arrangement in the first place. But a man and a woman living together without the benefit of marriage tends to be a petri dish for trouble. So here's what Franklin Graham was getting at. J-Lo is on here doing all of her little gyrations, apparently, and all of these little sexual moves. And they have children involved in this. Children coming out of cages. And apparently people have tried to interpret, well, what does that mean? I'll tell you one thing, it can't mean anything good. And then apparently, here again, with children involved in this, all kinds of gestures and movements and the whole thing that some people have gone so far as to say it was like a pornographic show. In terms of what it was trying to depict, what it was trying to symbolize. No. Folks, the very standards that we as Christians, have propounded and sought to uphold and been ridiculed here of late for, you know, told, hey, you're antiquated, you're stupid, who do you think you are to judge other people? And all we're saying is God is the one who created us. God sets the standard for morality. God defines what it is. God defines how we behave. And when we follow God's rules, we get the benefits of that. And when we break God's rules, we get the consequences of that. And you hear these people are moaning and groaning. And look, legitimately, no man should ever abuse any woman or take advantage of any woman or commit any act of sexual assault on any woman, period. I mean, let's just be clear about that. So I am 100% for that, okay? I'm 100% with that. But, you know, it's kind of hard to me to talk out of both sides of your mouth. You promote all this sexual stuff. You use kids in these sexually charged shows. And then you want to complain when the people who are part of the community that you belong to, the sort of the Hollywood entertainment community, take that to the next step and basically take sexual license with people. I mean, which is it? If you don't want that, why don't you promote the Christian view of what sexuality should be? We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Paul has some words for us in 2 Corinthians. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. You know, I'm a rich man. Some people I know will deny that. They look at my salary, my bank account, what possessions I have. They by no means consider me a rich man. They wouldn't even go so far as say that I was in the middle bracket, much less in the upper bracket. But like I said, I'm a rich man. I'm a rich man. I'm rich because of my heritage. I came from a home where parents loved me, provided for my needs to the best of their ability, sacrificed things they very much needed so that I could have advantages they never had. I'm a rich man. I have a wife who loves me. She puts up with all my faults, stands beside me, pulls for me when the going is rough. No, she's no Hollywood star. But most of the stars in Hollywood cannot hold a light to her when it comes to real beauty. Yes, I'm a rich man. I have 4 wonderful children. I have 5 grandchildren. Children and grandchildren who give hope and promise of a better tomorrow. I love them, want the best for them, and try to bring them up in a Christian environment like my parents did before me. I'm a rich man. I have a job, a very meaningful job. Not much money in it, nor prestige, but it gives me a chance to help my fellow man, to lift the sights of others to a higher level, give my life to a cause that will leave the world a better place in which to live. I'll probably never reach the top of my profession, but I can face life knowing I did my best in the job which I felt my Creator wanted me to do. I have a job which I consider important because He considers it important. And again, I'm a rich man. I want to say it one more time. I'm a rich man. I live in a free country. Millions and millions of people cannot know the richness of that. They live under the shadow of a dictator. Millions more here in the country where I live have never realized that freedom is an obligation, not a license. Thus, they're poor. Poor because they have not learned that freedom is not a license to drag men down into the depths of filth, but that freedom is an obligation to lift myself and my fellow man to greater and greater heights, pressing on toward that high mark to which our Maker calls us. Again, I'll say it. I'm a rich man. I have friends who are friends. They stay with me through the good times and the bad. They encourage me. They cause me to try harder. They keep me from giving up. When the clouds of darkness are around me, these friends of mine are beside me. They're true friends. The doors to their homes are open to me as mine is to them. I'm a rich man. I've found what many still are searching for. I've found forgiveness and understanding and help. I've found them in a crucified Galilean. He takes my weaknesses and makes me strong. He takes my fears and makes me brave. He takes my doubts and makes me believe. He assures me of what every person wants to know, that there will be life after death for me. Like I said, I'm a rich man. Oh, by the way, can I borrow a dime?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. So folks, apparently, at least from a Christian perspective, the NFL has still got a long, 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 long way to go to learn its lesson. And here again, you want to be able to watch football and have your children, your young children there and enjoy it and enjoy the halftime show and have it be clean and wholesome and decent. But sadly, there are people who just they've lost all touch with those standards of decency that once governed this nation. And that's a very, very sad commentary. So apparently, they didn't do anything to make me think, well, you know what? Wow, I wish I'd watched the Super Bowl. Nope. In fact, I'm saying I made the right decision to watch Overcomer. I enjoyed that. It was encouraging. It was uplifting. It was inspiring. It helped to draw us closer to God and to to realize how good he is and how much he loves us and wants to help us and wants to save us versus J-Lo and Shakira apparently, doing whatever they do. I won't even bother to give it a description. And the NFL buying into a kind of degenerate, degrading way of looking at people and looking at life. So, folks, I tell you, we need to take our country back, and the left always says, oh, yeah, they want to take people back to slavery. They want to take people back to when women couldn't vote. Well, of course, that's nonsense. What we really mean is we want to take back those historic values that held us in good stead as a nation and helped us raise our families, helped us be good neighbors to our neighbors and just work together and build and create and grow and do so with a sense of decency and honor toward one another. Here again, I know we've never been a perfect country, and I'm not trying to suggest that, but I'll tell you what, there was a time when we had a moral and cultural consensus that was a whole lot different and a whole lot better than what we've got right now. And the left is responsible for the degeneration of our culture. There's no question about it. Okay, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to introduce a couple of other topics, but I'll take your calls because I do want to talk to you. Some of you may have watched Super Bowl. And by the way, I'm not knocking anybody who's watched it, okay? I'm not saying if you watched it, you're a bad person or a bad Christian or anything like that. I'm just saying they turned me off. And apparently what went down yesterday didn't go any distance toward turning somebody like me on again. So that's all I'm saying. The number again is 888-589-8840. A couple of other things that I just thought I would bring up with you for your consideration. This is something good that happened. Well, it's not a Super Bowl issue, but a spot was played during the Super Bowl recognizing this woman, Alice Johnson, who she is a grandmother now, but she spent 20 years in prison. She was given life in prison for her involvement with the drug industry. And she got caught. Apparently, she said she didn't deal the drugs per se, but she was involved in the industry. And if you're involved in the industry, you're part of that enterprise. So you don't get to say, well, I have clean hands because I don't do this particular aspect of it. But nevertheless, she repented of it, apparently got saved, put her life together. And the president, through criminal justice reform, commuted her sentence. She is now out now. And she has written a book and is just really thanking God and thanking the president for a second chance at life. I mean, she was scheduled to spend the rest of her life in prison. She did 20 years, which is a good long stint. And her argument is not, she said, I deserve prison. She said, there's no question about that. I did things that were supposed to land me in prison. She said, but I just think that a life sentence for the things I did was just out of proportion, because apparently she was never engaged in any violence, even though we know the drug industry itself is violent. She never had any part of that, never never had any involvement in any aspect of the violence. And so, and that was one of the things I think the president looked at in terms of commuting her sentence. Ainsley Earhart interviewed this woman and asked her what she would like to say to the president. And by the way, I've said this repeatedly, folks, and for every American of African descent listening to me, everybody, I want you to hear me, but for those of you of African descent, hear me well. President Obama did, in my view, absolutely nothing whatsoever to help the black community. Nothing. 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 It was all posturing and gesturing it's racism. And that was it. You know what he was focused on? Climate change, LGBTQ rights, and what was his other thing? But those are the two main things anyway. Those were his main preoccupations. He didn't do anything about the gangs, the drugs, the poor education. that was going on in the inner cities around this country. He didn't do anything to try to lift folks out of poverty by giving them a sense of hope and possibility. He opposed school choice. I mean, the things that could help the black community, he didn't want to have anything to do with. He advanced the cause of abortion. I mean, he didn't do anything. Here's President Donald Trump accused of being a racist. And here's a black woman, Alice Johnson. Here's what she said in response to Ainsley Earhart's question, what would you like to say to the president? Quote, I hope that you're proud of the things I've been able to accomplish. And I hope that you will continue to be proud of the things that I will do for this nation, for other people, to change the trajectory of how we look at prisoners, how we look at people. Thank you for seeing me as another human being and giving me a second chance in life. Now, that's what Alice Johnson, the black woman, says to President Trump, who is repeatedly accused by the left of being a racist. Mr. President, thank you for seeing me as another human being and giving me a second chance in life. I mean, folks, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, right? I mean, this president, is, as far as I'm concerned, has done more in 3 years for the black community than Barack Obama did in 8 years, because in my view, he did nothing, nothing. And President Trump is working to help every single American to live the very best life we're able to live in a free nation. And God bless him for it. And so that was one good thing that came out of the Super Bowl. Apparently the ad was run. He caught some criticism for that, but I don't care. I'm glad that people are able to see what this president is doing as opposed to the accusations about what he's saying. Okay, let's try to get some calls in real quick. We can get the first one in anyway. Let's go to Mark in Ohio. Mark, welcome.
Hey, Bishop, how you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, I wanted to say one thing. Jan Markell, who is on your show or on your network on Saturdays, I'm pretty sure she, and I know other Christian ministries have brought out the fact that Jay-Z and Beyonce have openly talked about their occultic beliefs. Mm-hmm. They are into the occult, and they have admitted it. And a lot of people don't know that. They may not talk about it in every conversation, but these people, they basically are, they're heavily into occultism mm-hmm. and stuff. And that explains a lot of why they do what they do. And as far as the halftime show, years ago when Janet Jackson was going to be on stage during a halftime show, I thought, I'm not watching that, and I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
And I don't watch any of it because it's basically just a bunch of almost half-baked strip joint junk.
Yep, that's how some have described it. It was like a glorified strip show.
Yeah, and they're degrading themselves. I mean, all these efforts for equality for women, all they've gained, or one of the main things they've gained is the ability to, or the opportunity to degrade themselves. And it's like, take a look in the mirror. You're making a fool out of yourself.
It's ironic, Mark. Mark, thanks for the call. But you're right. It's ironic that we're hearing all this stuff about the treatment of women, and then they put women up, and the very thing they say they don't want, which is for women to be sexually objectified, is what they then do to themselves, and everybody applauds it. And even engaging children in it. I mean, that should be beneath their... Back in a moment.
Just as you can divide the world up into dog people and cat people, you can divide the world into givers and takers.
Are you a giver or a taker? On this Focus on the Family Minute, Gary Thomas reflects on how that aspect of your personality can derail a marriage.
Some people get joy out of giving. Some people get their highest joy out of taking. And the problem is when the couples start dating, you have a giver who's dating a taker. The giver gets to give, the taker gets to take. They feel like it's a match made in heaven. But marriage is a long-term relationship. It is a lifelong marathon. And the time is going to come when the giver needs to receive and the taker needs to give. And often, rather than having empathy for you, they'll feel sorry for themselves because their whole world is oriented toward themselves.
Hear more from Gary Thomas about that balance of giving and taking in your relationship at FamilyMinute.org.
There's great news to report on the pro-life front. The Supreme Court has chosen not to review a Kentucky law which allows abortion-minded mothers to be shown an ultrasound prior to an abortion. Mothers are much more likely to choose life if they see an ultrasound and hear their baby's heartbeat. We praise God that the Supreme Court upheld Kentucky's law that will protect our nation's most vulnerable and innocent lives. Please pray God will continue to lead the hearts of those who rule in matters concerning unborn children.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more.
This is Penny Weaver from Decatur, Illinois. Last year, we had the privilege of J.J. Jasper as our speaker. We had our largest fundraising banquet ever.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
Every day in the red light districts of Mumbai, India, there are young children living under the daily threat of being trafficked, abused, and exploited.
They made me sit in one place and they sent a man near me, and then things started happening in the wrong ways.
It's amazing to watch God move through your gifts as you've provided shelter, rescue, and care at safe houses operated by the Ministry India Partners. Because of you, girls like Kushi finally have hope for the future.
When I came to this home, I learned English and many things about Jesus Christ.
The work is not done, and more girls need to be rescued. On Thursday, February 13th, you'll hear how each gift of $7.08 will provide life-changing shelter, rescue, and care at the new safe house run by India Partners. Learn more and give at AFR.net.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, look, Mark is absolutely right. These Hollywood people, many of them, and here again, we can never speak of all of them because we don't know all of them, and there are some Christians in Hollywood. There's no doubt about that. But a lot of these people have gotten into this occult stuff. I know Jay-Z has been into that for a long time. And basically what they're really doing is worshiping the devil. And you know, the sad thing is Beyonce apparently was a pastor. I don't know what his status is today. And she was singing in the church. And this is true often, isn't it, that young people are brought up in the church and they get hooked up with the wrong crowd, the wrong people, and before you know it, they've thrown away their background of faith in Jesus Christ and embraced a bunch of crazy, devilish stuff. And sadly, when they get that at that level of fame and popularity, they pollute the whole culture with it. It's like injecting strychnine into the national bloodstream, and everybody gets infected and afflicted with this stuff. So it's really sad. We got to pray for these people, folks, because they really do need deliverance. And the children, you know what I started to say before the program ended, I mean, before the last end of the last break, I said should be beneath. And the word I was going to use, of course, was dignity. And then I thought, you know what? But they don't have any. That's why you would involve your child in a kind of striptease type show, because you don't have any dignity left. We need an awakening in the United States of America. Let's go to Laurie in Texas. Laurie, welcome.
Hi. I saw part of the show last night while I was working, and it was so disgusting. I was in shock because not only of their costumes, it looked like they were performing sex acts with wow. each other, and it was just horrible. And I thought, how could you want your wife or your child to see it or participate in it? And completely evil. I mean, I don't know what else. I couldn't even sleep. It was so horrible.
Wow. Thank you, Laura. You have described it well and accurately from everything I've read. Oh, and by the way, folks, did you all know Jeb Bush said it was the best halftime show he'd ever seen. And that's why Donald Trump and not Jeb Bush is president of the United States. because if you don't have any better sense than that, oh my goodness, the last thing we want to do is put your finger on the nuclear button. But let's go on to Lee in Virginia. Lee, welcome. Lee, you are on.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to say right off the bat, Bishop, these people, these football players, they're not my heroes. People like you are my heroes. And well, I was thinking that Sunday morning, I go to two churches. One has 15 members, the other has 6. How ironic and pitiful. People would pay $6,000 to $10,000 a ticket to watch a football game that has no answers about their life, that's not going to help them at all when they come down to the point of dying, but they won't go to church and where they can get all the answers and hear the word of God for nothing. You know, the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul?
Well, Lee, you listen, you just preached a whole sermon there, brother. So Lee, thank you for the call. And look, I wonder the same thing. And let's face it, folks, and believe me, here again, we can never say all or say blanket, but let's face it, all too often the United States of America, Lee talks about a church with 15 people, one with 6. All too often in the United States of America, church becomes entertainment. Instead of being a place where we actually go and have an encounter with the living God, and actually go and hear the word of God preached without compromise and without apology, where we go and our souls are uplifted, and sometimes we're corrected and rebuked, but we're encouraged and inspired of that God loves us. And you're right. I mean, look, people want to go today to a church that will entertain them and say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, it'll be okay. I had somebody tell me that they've been to a church, have visited a church, and they stopped. They said because they found out that the church didn't believe in salvation or the blood or anything like that. In fact, their motto was Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, nothing. All are welcome here. So I said, man, that's not a church, you know. But you know what? They're piling in. So, and here again, there's some wonderful churches with thousands of members, so I know that. So I'm in no way suggesting that a big crowd suggests there's something inauthentic or something is wrong. I'm just saying there are a lot of places that are filled with people who go there simply because they can get their ears tickled. Let's go to D in Tennessee. D, welcome. D, you're on.
Hello, Bishop. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I listen to your show all the time.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on that halftime. I noticed on the halftime show, you know, J-Lo and Shakira, they were doing all the gyrations and everything. But then they didn't have, when J-Lo's daughter came on, she was not dressed like those other girls, and she was not participating in all that provocative moves that they were doing and everything. They had her daughter picture like she was one of the angels, while all the other little girls, mostly African-American, were participating in all the gyrations. So I just wanted to speak to that double standard that Hollywood has, because a lot of them have been known for trying to protect their children and not expose their children to what they're exposing our children to.
Wow, Dee, that I appreciate that. That is also very insightful, because in other words, it's good enough to use other people's children to do this disgusting stuff, but not mine. I mean, wow, that's all the more disgusting. I mean, good that she's not letting her daughter, presumably not letting her daughter get involved in it. Although she's there, she's probably watching what her mother does. So it's just a whole lot of confusion. Thanks for the call, Dee. Let's go to Michelle in Louisiana. Michelle, welcome. Michelle, you are on.
Hi, Bishop. I just want to tell you that I love your show so much. I listen to your show every day, and I appreciate you, and I thank God for you every single day. Your show is just wonderful. And I just lift your family up. Whatever you're going through, I lift your family up, because I'm going through a trial of my own, and it's just been hard, but it's only drawn me closer to the Lord.
Amen.
But I just wanted to say that the halftime show, And what the lady said just a minute ago, the last lady was just on, I didn't notice that. The J-Lo's daughter was dressed differently than the rest of the kids. I tried not to pay that much attention because the halftime show was totally disgusting. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely disgusting. And them kids that they put up there for that halftime show, they are so proud of themselves for being up there.
Yeah.
And being part of that. And it's really sad because they used them provocatively in my eyes, and or that's how I see it anyway.
Yeah, Michelle. Listen, it is heartbreaking, isn't it? Because I say, you know, nothing makes me angrier than seeing children exploited because they can't defend themselves, and they're not wise enough in the ways of the world to understand when they're being exploited and used. And then these are the children, if they want to have a career in entertainment, that will they'll end up standing in front of somebody who will tell them, well, if you really want to advance in this business, you know, you got to have sex with me. And before you know it, that kid's caught up in something. And in a sense, they're being prepared for it and groomed for it with this kind of entertainment because this is what they do, right? This is the way you entertain. This is the way, it's evil. It's wicked. Michelle, thanks for the call. Before I come, I think we're going to get a couple more calls in, but before I do, let me just mention that tomorrow at 12 noon, I do a call every week called the National Awakening Coalition Conference Call at 12 noon Eastern Time. And tomorrow I'm going to have Brigitte Gabriel on as my guest speaker. We have a guest speaker every week, and we've had all kinds of people on from senators and congressmen to people who are leaders in other areas of life. And Brigitte Gabriel, as you all know, is the president of ACT for America. And she is going to be talking about how Islam and radical Islam is infiltrating itself into our country and in using the black community. See, folks, I blame the Nation of Islam for this because they're the ones who came in with this lie. Islam is the religion of the black man. I mean, there's never been a bigger lie told by Louis Farrakhan than that one. And he's told some whoppers. But that's tomorrow, 12 noon. If you want to get in on that call, email us at ewj@standamerica.us, and we'll give you the number to call in. We'll also post it on the Facebook page, and you can check it out there. Okay, let's see if we can get another call in. Let's go to Lynn in North Carolina. Lynn, you are on.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to say you're right on the confusion of people like Jeb Bush. There's no telling how many people watched the halftime show, and then they're out this morning talking about, you know, exploitation of kids and women or whatever, but they'll sit and watch it and not realize that that's exactly what they're going out on Monday morning complaining about. But my heart did come up in my throat when the national anthem was played. That part I love. I can't understand why anybody could listen to that song and watch the flag wave and want to kneel or want to sit down because that's what we're here for.
Amen. Or want to disrespect it even.
Exactly. The blood that was spilled for that flag to wave and for them to stand there and play that game, I can't understand it. But it goes back to the confusion of the world. I mean, the world is confused.
Thank you for the call, Lynn. And you are absolutely right. The world is confused. By the way, speaking of the national anthem, folks, I've heard people say, the national anthem is a terrible song. We need to come up with something else. I love that song. I love it. I sometimes sing it around the house. I can't sing that well, but, you know, I'll do my best. Well, folks, as always, we are hopeful. We are encouraged because God is on the throne and nobody's going to be able to knock him off. And what he says is right is going to prevail. And what he says is wrong is going to fail. I'm your host. Gotta go. But in the meantime, remember this. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.